One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're never going to be alone again, are we?
You'll never walk alone.
Can't get a minute of peace and quiet.
You'll never podcast alone.
I'll just see myself out.
Yeah. Oh, hey. That's pretty good. Hey.
I can hear you guys.
Yeah. Welcome to our third guest in as many weeks. Gabe DeGennaro.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Gabe.
Hi.
Thanks for being on our show.
I am so excited.
Gabe just flew here from the Windy City, and boy, are his arms tired.
Oh, is this Chad Nilsson from, from Nighthawk Bar and Grill or whatever it was?
Don't you know.
Anywhere in the square, check out that episode. So let's tell you what we do here on Song Salad, then we'll tell you what Gabe's doing here on Song Salad. A song salad is a short song that we write about a random topic in a random genre of music. And Gabe is here to be another guest spurt.
Is it geck spurt?
Guest spurt.
Guest
like
spurt.
You're not an expert gecko. You're an expert guest.
Right. But I don't want to be like a spurt, you know, like a
well,
squirt.
Well, should have thought that before.
We can't always get what we want, Gabe.
So, Gabe, why don't you tell the people what you're a spurt in?
Is it this kind of podcast? I am a spurt in slight ways in acapella and barbershop music.
Great, you really sold it.
Okay. No. You didn't say anything about slight when we hired you.
we hired you.
Okay, so like I don't have any degrees in it. I'm not
well neither do we.
Yeah, right. So so in high school as well as undergrad, I formed acapella groups who sang barbershop as well as a variety of other...
You were the coolest guy in school.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Wait till I get to the names of the groups.
I can't wait.
So in high school, we were called Take Five.
Okay.
And there were five of us until one of us graduated, but we stuck...
You were going to say die.
No, Tim. No, he was fine.
No, Tim.
He's living in Boston.
And then you changed your name to Took Five.
No, we were still Take Five, and we did two self-produced concerts at the high school. We made a CD in my living room with a CD recorder.
Nice.
That's before iPhones. And we did a lot of barbershop as well as doo-wop, pop, really anything in between that was acapella.
Cool.
And then in college at University of Delaware, there were a lot of guys that came from... a group called Men of Note from Cherry Hill High School. You might have heard of them because they were on the Sing Off. No, not the Sing Off. Yes. Wait, which one's the one with Nick Lachey?
The Sing Off was the one with
Nick Lachey and the acapella
groups. Acapella
groups. Yeah, yeah. They were on the Sing Off.
Cool.
And they won the high school level national.
Nice.
So they were in undergrad with me, and we're like, hey, we should form another group. So there was five of us, and we didn't go with Take Five.
Oh, good.
With Take Six. No, I'm just kidding. But we went with the Blue Hen Men because the University of Delaware's mascot are the Fightin' Blue Hens.
Oh.
That's good.
And our subtitle name was Cacapella.
Nice.
That's where I thought it would be.
Yeah.
So we did an acapella episode recently.
Yeah. So you're shit out of luck.
I will once again see myself out.
Yeah.
But we did that episode in the style of the Pentatonics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is very far from barbershop in style and in group makeup. And usually in the types of songs that are done. Could you give us a brief rundown of what makes barbershop unique from acapella in general?
Of course. So barbershop is a quartet or a choir. Very famously, it's got the four guys with their little striped jackets and hats.
Singing about ice cream.
Singing about ice cream, exactly. You know, from Music Man. yeah. And they, in the modern acapella, like rockapella and Deke Sharon and all those kind of people.
Deke Sharon?
Deke Sharon.
Deke Sharon.
Deke Sharon is
Deke Sharon.
It's like, what did you just say?
He's the famous...
It's a Welsh group.
No, that is a human being. That is a single human being who is like the grandfather of modern a cappella. He does a lot of arrangements. He does a lot of... I think he was on the sing-off for a while, cool. doing judges or coachings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you have people that make music with their mouths, was a big rock cappella thing. And this, I sound like a bass, I sound like a guitar. With Barbershop, it's homophonic. Oh my gosh, am I saying that right? Where everybody sings the same words at the same time. My music theory is falling out of my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So we all say the same words at the same time, and it's all about the harmony within those words. The dominant seventh is like 60% of the music.
What does that mean,
dominant seventh? So if you're in the key of C major, a five chord with a seventh, it really wants to go to back to the home key. Is that an easy way to explain it?
So
that was complete gibberish to anyone who's not you or Scott at the moment.
Basically, in music, the strongest relationship in moving a chord progression along is going from the fifth chord, basically the five chord, back to the one chord or the home chord. Because the notes, there's one note in common between the two of those chords, mm-hmm. and the other two notes on those chords lead right to the other notes in the first chord by just moving a step in one direction. And if you add the seventh onto that five chord, it adds even more of that tension and even more of an opportunity to just bring a note one step in another direction to lead back to that first chord.
So,
does that make sense?
You are a spurt, Gabe. So what you're saying is it like alternates between those two chords a lot?
No. So in each key, there's one five chord technically. But the way that they arrange just normal songs is that they try to integrate as many five chords as possible. There's also things known as five of five. So if it's basically like inception of a dominant seventh chord.
Basically.
It's the dominant seventh chord of a dominant seventh chord.
Hey, y'all, tweet at us the timestamp of when you tapped out of this episode.
No!
Let us know. No, this is just like... way more, like, this is not bad information. It's just way more music theory than I feel like we usually get into, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in a lot of ways, Barbershop is stripping back a lot of other trappings.
Sure.
It is a cappella. There aren't any other instruments. So, like, how the voices interact with one another is a huge part of this genre. Yeah.
Exactly. So basically, that sound that you hear when you hear a Barbershop quartet, whether it be the Dapper Dans in Walt Disney World, mm-hmm. or the Buffalo Bills, there's a really famous group.
In the Wild Wild West world. Every Epcot has its own barbershop quartet with an appropriate name.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
So
the barber chopsticks in Japan.
So the basic sound of that
Barbacoa
tension.
Barbacoa shop in Mexico. Sorry. This is going to be the rest of the episode. Anyway.
Yikes. Okay.
Sorry.
Babar shop in France. She's a little elephant a cappella group.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, so basically, let's replace the word dominant seventh with the word tension.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically... they use all of that tension to really grab people's ears and surround the simple melody of the tune with really interesting interlocking chords.
Okay, so Barbershop, what are the parts? What are the voice parts?
Four parts.
Okay.
You got the tenor, mm-hmm. which is more closer to a countertenor or a man singing in falsetto than an actual tenor in real life.
Soup's high.
Yeah, soup's high. You got the actual lead, which usually sings the majority.
The majority of the melody?
Yes,
is that what you're going for? All right, I got Portmanteaus you.
Portmanteaus all over the place.
Yeah. The majority.
We got majority. It's the experience.
Right. So he sings the lead, and it is closer to what a tenor is. You have a baritone, which basically is like the alto part in a choir,
okay.
which is just filling in the extra notes,
yep.
Which is called a baritone, but the tessitura of it, which is tessitura means where the notes sit. Is it high or is it a low tessitura?
Yeah.
Is actually a pretty high tessitura. So a lot of tenors sing the baritone line. And then there's the bass, which is the one that actually means what it means. So those are for a male a cappella group, or male, I'm sorry, barbershop group. There are female barbershop.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Is it primarily men? Or,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. It started with men, but there's a huge, huge organization called Sweet Adelines. Sweet Adeline is actually a famous barbershop tune that almost everybody knows. Mm. But the female...
Sweet Adeline.
Ba, ba, ba.
Yeah, the classic. Yeah.
God, Neil Diamond, just groundbreaking. Groundbreaking
barbershop musician.
So it is not a gender-specific situation. And it actually came from... It is monumental in the progress of a cappella music in general. It's a lot of Boys to Men and rock cappella and pentatonics came from these roots. It turned into doo-wop and into all of that kind of 1950s, 60s stuff that you hear. Where it came from is actually a little bit dicey. Late 18th century, early 19th century. And it's obviously something that we stole from African American culture,
like lots of things.
Right. So
I mean, this podcast
Another recent episode that you guys did.
Right.
Yep.
So just tacking another one onto the list.
Yeah. Yep. Cultural appropriation, the podcast.
Yeah. You know, essentially.
But it also had roots in like southern religious churches, and as opposed to religious other things. So the music that they sing in churches, the four-part Lutheran chorales,
hymns,
that kind of stuff.
Plain song.
So there's not like one specific place that it came from, just like most musical genres.
Sure.
But it really was established in the early 20th century, right around the time of minstrel songs and... I can only
like
do that.
Like vaudeville.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what that sounded like. You knew what it meant.
I did.
It was great.
I did. We were on a wavelength here. So no matter its dubious origins, an American art form.
Very, very much so.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I just want to touch back on very quickly on the homophonic nature of it, where in the pentatonic style song that we did, there was a lot of use of what we called hocket, sort of, and bouncing around different parts to fill in the holes, and that whole like kachenko thing that we did,
which is stuck in my head,
right,
all the time.
With each voice part sort of doing their own thing to blend together in this cool sound, whereas in barbershop it's a lot more focused on singing the same words at the same time. And somewhat, every once in a while, moving in a different pace than someone else around you. But for the most part, you're not going to be hearing those bouncing around voice parts and beatboxing and things like we did in that episode. So
should we get an example?
Yeah. So, Gabe, do you have a iconic barbershop example song that you think would be good to play for our listeners?
Sure. Swanee. Sung by the Bluegrass Student Union, which is a famous group that won many SPEBSQA championships, international championships. You guys get that?
Did you have a stroke? Are you okay?
I feel like we're diving into like a whole fucking Harry Potter world.
Oh, no, it is such a subculture. There are conferences. There is a list of songs that people, that every single barbershop singer knows. So when they get together, you just say, hey, do you know this? And they sing.
Oh, wow. My God.
It's adorable.
This is the dorkiest thing ever.
Funny. I give the world to be. Folks in DIX, even now my man is waiting for me, praying for me, down by the Swanee, the folks away up north are gonna see me no more, when I go to the Swanee shore, now I'm gonna go right back to Swanee shore.
Squee squaw. What is it?
Squidward. Sparta.
Spebsqua, or how they're often referred to now as the Barbershop Harmony Society.
Okay.
Doesn't roll off the tongue as nice.
Yeah.
Is the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, Inc.
This is, guys, listen to me.
Spebsquink.
As a branding professional, this is why you don't name your own organization. Go to a professional. They'll name it for you. Oh, so you don't end up with something that sounds like an enzyme.
It's genetics. It's fine.
Okay, so we just heard the end of the song through what you're calling tags. So tell us what a tag is.
So right. So that right at the end where you heard the lead hold that very long note. Underneath of that, while Scott is holding the lead note, the other three voices start to kind of modulate through chords and creep down to the final tonic ending resolution.
Oh. And like that.
Exactly. Tags are something that are almost their own little ditties. When people go to these Spebsqua conventions, they have a bag of tags, a pocket of tags, whatever you want to call it, in their heads. It's a proverbial pocket.
You got a bag of tags in your head.
I mean, something's got to be wrong to do barbershop all the time like that.
God.
And basically, if you are a lead and you say like, hey, and you're just like in the lunch line at the conference at the Panera, and they're like, any other three voice parts? Like, I'm a bass. They'll be like, hey, let's do the Swanee tag, or hey, let's do the Sweet Adeline tag, or the Over the Rainbow tag, and people will just know it. It's like that. It's almost like the required reading of Spebsqua.
You're the worst people in that Panera. Like, guaranteed. You're the worst people in Panera.
Can you imagine being the Panera employee that knows every year when Spebsqua's in town?
No!
That's when they take their vacation.
Oh, they like try to get off work and then they can't.
Always, in choir tours, you were always that choir who sang in public places. We were too. We always felt so
we
cool.
We did all state choir in high school and everything.
On the planes, all those YouTube videos are going viral now.
Sure.
I was never that asshole. I just
was a collective asshole. It wasn't a singular asshole.
Y'all had to pull. You all had to harmonize.
I know we're poking a lot of fun here, but I will say it's kind of cool that it's like the closest thing we have right now to a surviving oral tradition of music.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Oh yeah. It's easy to make fun of because it is such a deep and revered tradition. Is that the right word?
I mean, revered by the people that practice it, and
it's a rigorous discipline. Like it truly.
There's technique
is.
In it.
Yes,
there's
for sure.
Very much a specific technique in it, and it's impressive. And the community that is created around it is similar to that of any type of single item that brings people together, whether it be a religion or a sporting event, anything like that. It is such a communal group thing.
Cool. So when we were watching the example, so it was a YouTube video that we pulled some of that audio from. Gabe, you mentioned how they were standing is actually pretty important or standardized. So what's up with that?
Yeah, and this helps with that just tuning that I was talking about. The lead who sings the melody and the bass stand in the middle. They're in that little kind of like arc, right? So in the middle are the lead and the bass, and on the outside are the tenor and the baritone. And that helps with hearing the right parts and also putting the actual voices together that will carry to the audience in the correct way to provide that ring that barbershop is famous for.
Yeah.
Does something that help with the ring, the other thing you mentioned, which is it's all straight tone.
All straight tone, yeah.
Meaning no gaze allowed.
That is definitely not true. That's the opposite of what is true. A cappella, pretty sure.
What are you trying to say? No, straight tone is... So vibrato is used as an artistic... It's a part of the artistic palette. In order to achieve that ring, it is much easier to do with... with the straight tone, which is probably a similarity to modern acapella.
Yeah, acapella. You hear that throughout acapella, I think.
It's more pop.
So I guess we should also mention that Gabe's actually a lawyer. And he just, like, knows a lot of stuff about barbershop.
We didn't really talk about what you do, Gabe.
Exactly. Who is this man?
There's the singing senators, and those are four barbershop senators.
Oh, God. So it's like House of Cards.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly like House of Cards.
And they were straight as an arrow.
Twist!
Yeah. What do you do, Gabe? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where'd you go?
Who is it, Daddy?
Cotton Eye Joe.
So I am originally from South Jersey. I now live in Chicago. That's not exciting. I now live in Chicago, and I am a performer and educator. I do anything.
Mime.
Yes. I do. I'm trained classically, but I do a lot of musical theater and operetta as well. And I teach private voice lessons at a private school downtown. It is very private.
He signed an NDA. He can't
tell you anything more about it. So yeah, so music is my thing. Vocal music, particularly.
And now we're going to be writing a barbershop quartet song together. And what is it going to be about?
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay. So in case this is your first song salad, welcome. This is weird. But
don't worry, I'll fix it all in post.
Yeah, great.
All in the editing.
But what we do here is usually we get a random topic in a random genre, but this week, because we have a guest expert who knows the genre, we are just going to get a random topic. And to do that, we spin the salad spinner, and our salad spinners are suggestions from you, our wonderful listeners. And if you have a salad spinner suggestion, tweet it at us, at Song Salad Cast. You can also email it to us, which we had our first email submission last week. From Vicky, which was awesome. Thank you, Vicky Crossan. We're songsaladpodcast@gmail.com.
And this week's Salad Spinner suggestion comes from Todd, at Todd the Linguist. He says, the latest Guy Fieri menu item can't be reading off that wonderful fake menu that already exists. Must be original Shannon and Scott ideas.
Okay.
Do we each just want to give one since we're doing the one Salad Spinner?
Yeah, sure.
Including you, Gabe?
Okay. All right. I'm just going to say the name of it, and then I'm going to say the description of what it is.
Okay.
And you can cut them all together.
Okay.
Okay. Rockin' Ragoons. Which are raccoon ragu.
I thought it was like a crab rangoon kind of situation.
It's a
ragu made of raccoons?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rockin' Raggoons.
Okay. I'm going to go with avocado donuts because it's the good kind of fat.
All right. Flavortown Fiesta.
On brand.
That actually might be.
It's probably one of them.
But it's actually a chili made with all of the innards of a piñata.
Candy chili. It's a dessert.
Very good. Oh my goodness!
Our topic this week. Tee off, Mr. Bean. Tee Off, Mr. Bean is the 12th episode of the television series Mr. Bean that first aired on ITV on September 20th, 1995. It was produced by Tiger Aspect Productions. And the Wikipedia article contains a plot summary.
Oh, wait. The episode, is this true with every episode that they're in two acts? Or is this unique? Is it like a two-parter?
Well, maybe it's like the first 15 minutes, the second 15
minutes.
Yeah,
maybe after the commercial break or something.
Yeah.
That sounds dramatic.
All right, so let's read the plot summaries. Let's get a little bit more information about this, and then we'll come back and let you know about Tee Off, Mr. Bean. Perfect.
Okay. Tee Off, Mr. Bean.
Yikes.
We're recording.
Oh, we are? I was just caught up in a world of fantasy and fun.
And clowning.
So, first of all, Mr. Bean, for anyone who is not familiar... Or thinks they're not familiar.
Yeah.
Mr. Bean is a sort of clown character portrayed by Rowan Atkinson, a British actor, and he basically does not talk. Every once in a while, like, kind of grumble a word here or there, but it's sort of like a miming, clowning kind of an act, and he had a very popular TV show and movies as well in the 90s. And he was also in Love Actually.
And in Rat Race.
And Rat Race.
He's a cultural icon.
I do love Rowan Atkinson.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think he's really funny.
He was even in the Olympic opening ceremony when it was in London.
Oh, yeah.
Really? As Mr. Bean?
As Mr. Bean.
That's cool. God, that's really funny.
So, this episode.
So, we were actually able to watch the whole episode on YouTube, which was a rare treat. That we actually got, like, first, like, primary source material of the topic. So, the episode is divided into two acts. The first act is the laundry, and then the second is the golf play. So, I took notes. Not that you really need notes, but it might be funny to, like, see what my notes were. So, in the first act of the laundry, Mr. Bean is doing laundry at a laundromat, or a laundrette, as they say, in England. And oh no, laundry costs £3, but he only has two.
Womp womp.
So here's like a weird thing that he does is he unzips his pants and he pulls a long string out of his crotch.
Very weird.
Which has a little envelope on the end and it has a pound coin in it.
It reminded me of those travel things that you wear underneath.
Yeah.
But, like, only one that would carry a pound.
A pound coin. But, right. Like, is that, like, a thing? Like, people have string tied to the inside of their pants with, like, a little paper envelope with money in it? Like,
probably
is that
not
a thing?
Probably not.
Okay.
Especially not from their fly.
Yeah. So, so then my note limit says, then he pulls a string out of his fly? Question mark. Okay. So
bees?
Then... So then a hot bully comes in, and hot bully is like a dude in a tight t-shirt and like acid wash jeans who looks like Michael Bolton. It's very 90s.
Let's just call him Michael.
Cowboy.
Yeah, Michael Bolton. And he comes in and he's washing, he like pushes Mr. Bean out of the way and he's washing his karate gi with a black belt.
And puts his nunchucks on top of the
washer. It's like very overt. So what Mr. Bean is doing is he's washing a giant plastic pool toy, huge fuzzy dice, his welcome mat, a lampshade, his precious teddy bear to whom he gives a straw as a snorkel. And he washes all his underwear days of the week until he realizes that he's missing Wednesday's pair because he's wearing Wednesday's pair. So he takes them off and in a hilarious mix them up, he ends up putting on a lady's long skirt that is the same color as his pants, and the lady washes his pants. So he's wearing this woman's skirt and trying to act like
he has their pants
on. So then the bully takes notice and is like into it. It's like
sort of like pretending to be into it just to make fun of him, I think.
Yeah, or like make him uncomfortable or something. So he gets mad and decides to. So the detergent at this laundromat comes in little paper cups. And so he switches the bully's detergent with coffee and the bully ends up ruining his karate gi. And then the lampshade shrinks, the dots come off the dice, the welcome mat is ruined, his teddy shrinks, and then he ends up getting put in the dryer trying to find his pants. And that's the end of
spins away in the dryer.
Act 2 is mini golf. I'll just say the whole plot of it because I'm not going to go play by play. Mr. Bean is playing mini golf.
Play by play.
Play by play. The golf play.
Hole by hole.
he's playing mini golf and he at first is very good. He gets a hole in one on his first hole and then his second hole, he fucks it up so bad that he ends up chasing his ball like all over the city.
The countryside.
Including like a grocery store and a bus.
The sewers.
And the sewers. Yeah. A garbage truck. And then finally he like cuts out the grass around the ball and goes back to the golf, the mini golf place and like taps it into the hole and his score is like 3,000 something. So that's
Tee off, Mr. Bean. And an interesting thing that I saw down here is sensors, the category on Wikipedia. Mr. Bean drinking the detergent and getting in the dryer in the first half are usually edited out of reruns on Nickelodeon. in the UK and Ireland. And the part in Act 2 of the golf ball in the car's exhaust pipe that causes the car to explode was also cut when it was put on Nickelodeon. So they probably didn't want kids drinking detergent or going in dryers. And maybe there was some, like, North Irish car bomb thing going on at that time.
Well, people used to stick bananas in the exhaust pipes, right?
What?
Is that a South Jersey thing?
It's definitely not.
You used to put bananas in people's tailpipes?
I didn't, but that's like a thing. Because it would, like, you would just, like, screw up the car. It's like a prank. Like, you would toilet paper somebody's...
That's not a prank. That's a crime.
It's vandalism.
So is all the other night before Halloween. Mischief night things.
Oh, man.
Devil's night?
Mischief night.
Mischief night?
Yeah.
I've heard of that. That's the night before Halloween?
Devil's night.
Whatever.
Mischief night.
Potato, potato.
Oh, God, guys. Okay, anyway, don't stick bananas in exhaust pipes, like Gabe said.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's the whole episode.
Also, fun fact about this. This is the only time that Mr. Bean ever boards a bus.
Wow. We saw it, guys.
Wow, I feel really special.
So put that in your lyrics, lyricist.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what
makes
the cut.
But there's no lyrics because Mr. Bean doesn't talk.
Yeah, it'll just be grumbling.
In Days of the Week harmony. Underwear.
Yeah.
Yes. Very well-tuned grumbles.
Yes. Okay, so we got to turn this into a song.
Barbershop song about tee off Mr. Bean.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is just like an onion. We just keep peeling and peeling.
We keep talking about barbershop.
And we keep
off
crying
mic.
And crying.
Yeah, exactly.
Couple more things of note.
Yes.
In barbershop before we get to the lyrics, which Shannon apparently has and Gabe and I have not seen.
Yeah, that's the fun part, though.
Also, of note would be a good barbershop quartet name.
Of note? There we go.
That is a good barbershop quartet name.
It's also just taking out men of that group in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Oh.
Men of note.
Well... opening doors. I don't know.
That's a very bad barbershop quartet name. opening doors.
I think a good one would be like third lung, like you were saying.
Third lung is good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, what about, because there's four people, fourth lung?
Fourth lung.
Yeah, because we were saying that like the guys at the end hold the note in the tag so long, it's like they have a third lung.
Yeah.
But we're so good that we have four lungs.
Four lungs, fourth yeah. Lung. Okay, so one of the things we neglected to mention earlier is the origin of why it's called barbershop.
Yes, and it is as simple as you would think. Barbershops as...
idea.
Well, I mean, think about barbershops today, especially in the African-American communities, where it's more of a hangout. You go there and you hang out on a Sunday afternoon.
And you sing about it.
And yeah, basically, and it was a place where guys would get together, and it's called a barbershop quartet because it... you would hang out in barbershops and this harmony would just kind of come up naturally.
I will tell you that there are a lot of barbershops in Harlem where that absolutely happens.
For sure. Yeah.
But nobody's singing barbershop.
Nobody's singing barbershop.
No, exactly.
But yeah, okay, cool.
And it's that almost uneducated approach to it where it's just filling out harmonies. Like when Boys to Men sing, they don't sing like, okay, well, do we have the fifth covered? Do we have the third covered? They just say, like, okay, just you sing it. Low, you sing high. I'll fill in the middle somewhere and just go with the flow.
So it's instinctual.
Yes, very much so.
Gotcha.
Very much so.
Cool.
And then swipes.
Swipes.
Is a technique used frequently, especially in tags. Swipes is basically where one person holds a note. And then the other people of the group do a silly sing a word, though.
Duh.
Scott can't remember any words. All of the words have escaped Scott.
You can't put me on the spot like that.
Here we go.
Dingo.
Dingo. Good.
Okay, so dingo. Great. So say dingo. And we're going to sing ding and switch notes on ding. It doesn't need to be pretty. Ready? Okay. So. Dingo. Right, so what we did on ding was a swipe.
Okay.
Very. It was just, we were just making it up. It's uneducated, right? We were
instinctual.
Scott was singing high, I was singing low, and
I was like, I didn't know what was happening. I was like, am I supposed to come in on the same, am I supposed to be doing the same note as everybody and then changing notes? And I didn't know.
We just created a new subgenre of barbershop.
I love how our instinctual uneducated...
Guerrilla traumatic barbershop. Like, barbershop by fire.
Barbershop ambush.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
what
it's
it
like
is.
Like John Cage.
Yeah, so your instinct was dingo. My uneducated instinctual thing was, I guess I'll just do the same note as everybody else and then change it. I don't know. Panic.
I had no instincts. It's fine.
Oh,
barbershop
guys.
Panic. That's a good
one. Barbershop panic.
Panic at the barbershop.
Panic at the barbershop.
Good. Panic exclamation point at the barbershop.
And there was a third thing. What was that third thing? Swipes.
Oh, wait, you were just going to say barbershop. That the
structure,
so the structure
yes. You can even talk about that.
Of barbershop, Gabe was telling us, and like you'll see this if you look up barbershop music, and we should tweet out a bunch of links, because there's some good choreo, some good old white men doing choreo. But the structure, barbershop songs are often already existing songs, like no one's really like writing specific songs for barbershop. More or less, unlike what we are doing today.
They're arrangements, yeah.
So they're arrangements of existing songs. And so whatever the structure of the existing song is the structure of the barbershop quartet song. So it's not like,
So Shannon, what is our structure today?
So here's what I'm attempting to do. And you guys are going to be like, this is a lot.
It's
but
a barbershop opera.
It is a lot. It's a full-length opera. No, so we're going to go an intro, a kind of like out-of-time intro, a chorus, bridge, chorus, tag.
Cool. My work is cut out for me. Here we go.
Okay, here
we go. You could be in Delaware tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So, here's the fiction I've created for this.
Okay.
Is that I didn't know, the laundry plot, like, kind of, like, it was funny. It was funnier than the golf plot.
Right.
But, like, less conducive to writing, like, a funny, like, cute, boppy song.
Sure.
And I tried to make it very colloquial, because I feel like a lot of barbershop, it's like songs that are all like, down home, all shucks. Like, my sweetheart. And like, like, what are you doing to my heart? And like, I'm going to go see my gal. And like, really like wholesome, like sickeningly wholesome. Yeah. So I tried to like.
That classic song about a surgeon, what are you doing to my heart?
I need to stop clapping. I'm sorry.
It's very good. So here we go. Here's the intro. I may not say much of, I may not say just what I'm feeling, because Mr. Bean is silent, but there's a game that's got me reeling. Okay, here's the chorus. Hit that ball all over England, from the green to the bus to the store. Hit that ball all over England, and swing and hit that little sucker more. Bridge, it's got a lot of nerve to skate me like this, like it don't care at all just how I feel. When I find it, I'll be sure to give it a kiss, and knock it in the hole with extra zeal. Chorus. Hit that ball all over England, from the green to the bus to the store. Hit that ball all over England. Just swing and hit that little sucker more. Tag. Just swing and hit that little sucker more.
Great.
And more.
Great.
And more.
And we're going to add all sorts of those.
More.
Sucker, 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 sucker.
Hit that ball. So does that jive with like the general feeling of barbershop?
I feel like I would want to sing that on a 4th of July with some potato salad, about to go to the fair.
Wearing a straw hat.
Excellent. Great.
So beautiful, Shannon.
That's our... So now we need...
music.
We need a title.
And we need a title. So a 4th long song. Hit that little sucker.
Hit that little sucker is pretty good.
Hit that ball is pretty good,
Hit that ball over England.
Hit that ball... Parentheses, hit that little sucker.
Hit that little sucker.
or
is that good?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Hit that sucker.
Hit that sucker.
All right. So this is a barbershop quartet by 4th Lung. Oh no, it's panic exclamation point at the barbershop.
At the barbershop.
There are just so many ideas.
Hit that little sucker by panic exclamation point at the barbershop.
Featuring special guest
Gabe DeGeniero.
Oh, I thought Shannon was singing all 4 parts.
Oh god. Perish the thought.
By Shannon and Scott.
Alright, let's do it.
I may not say much of what I'm feeling, but there's a game that's got me reeling. Hit that ball all over England. From the green to the bus to the store. Hit that ball all over England. swing and hit that little sucker more, more. It's got a lot of nerve to skate me like this, like it don't care at all just how I feel. And when I find it, I'll be sure to give it a kiss and knock it in the hole with extra zeal. Hit that ball all over England, from the green to the bus to the store. Hit that ball all over England, swing and hit that little sucker more, more. And more.
And more. And more. And more. And more.
Happy 2018, everybody.
That's how long it took.
We grew a lung in a lab in the time that
we did.
That
we
song.
Did. We also cut a verse out of that song.
Hey, don't reveal that.
Why not?
Well, a barbershop
for the greater good.
For the
barbershop
good.
Takes time to write.
I asked
does.
If we should do barbershop because would it take a long time?
And I like, said, let's do a chorus and a tag. And then you wrote an intro, a verse, a chorus, a bridge, and a tag.
Okay, okay. But like, you couldn't get the full effect with just a chorus and a tag. Come on.
True, true. On.
I feel like we successfully, I don't do anything. I feel like you successfully gave people a taste. So that they can go forward and actually...
And find real barbershop? Yeah.
Gateway barbershop. Yeah. Gateway barbershop.
Exactly. So find your local spook squid and go see some barbershop.
Did you have a stroke?
Find your local bizquick.
And make some
find your squid
tanks.
Squad.
Go up to Saskatchewan.
Find your squibby squab. Oh, God. We hit those notes all over England.
We did.
And more.
And more.
And more.
And more. And more.
With extra zeal.
Extra zeal. Thank you, Gabe, for being here.
Yes,
for
thank you, Gabe.
For being our guest spurt and for spurting all over this episode. It was really lovely, and it's always fun hanging out with you.
It was more than a pleasure.
Aw, thanks.
Your song salad debut. Put that on your resume.
There you go.
If you like us, you can follow us on Twitter. You can review us on iTunes. We'll give you a shout out. And you can support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/songsalad. patreon.com/songsalad.
It's like patron with an E thrown in there.
Yeah, for no reason.
No
I think
reason.
It's like an electronic patron.
Patreon.
Anyway, you can join the small band of your peers who are... supporting us, and we are so grateful to them, and we are honestly really humbled. And the most exciting thing is that bonus content is coming this month.
Yes.
You can pledge as little as $2 a month, and it still means a lot to us. $2, $5, and $10.
Support these lovely human beings.
Thank you, Gabe.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
Oh, and I'm Gabe.
You forgot.
I wasn't ready.
And together we're... Panic.
At
the barbershop.
Gabe really did panic.
It was not. It was not an instruction.
Floated all over the
room. I was like, "Dingo!"
Spurs.
End it.